What's up, everybody? This week I'm joined by Greg as we talk about one of the first remasters in video game history, Super Mario All-Stars. That and a whole lot more is to come on this week's episode of the 90s Podcast. Welcome to the show. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the 90s Podcast, right here in the Because of Me Network. Hope you're doing well today, and I'm joined by Greg Gregory. Greg, how are you, man?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Doing good.
It's good to have you back on here. It's,
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a year so far, and we're only in insert month here.
Yeah, right. Life comes at you fast, my man.
Life comes at you fast. Now, I've said before, and I'll say it again, we've been recording these a few weeks ahead of time, so we're not all up to Mr. Current Affairs or anything like that. But how's your Arbor Day been?
Arbor Day? Oh, okay. very tree-like?
Yeah, no, I'm just...
I guess?
No,
is that how it's supposed to be?
Right. No, it's good to be back on here. We are... this is episode 3 of season 10. Can't believe we're on season 10 already.
It's crazy, man.
We are slowly...
It's episode 1.
Well, we're slowly approaching episode 100. And I'm hoping to hit that at the end of this season. So that'll be sometime in June. So
nice.
Touch wood. But we're still in March right now, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
No, for those of you wondering, we're actually recording this in January, so
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just making fun of the time difference.
It happens.
I mean, can you believe the first man on the moonwalk in 50 years happened this week?
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
It's like, what? So confused right now.
It's good to talk about time changes and time dilation and stuff like that, because today we're talking about a game that is a remake of 4 instantly classic Super Mario games. We're talking about Super Mario All-Stars for the SNES.
Yeah.
Was the one of the first games that... that I played on the SNES, because I still had the original Nintendo back in 93, because I was, right. You know, we were still getting to grips with stuff. When I got the Super Nintendo properly, my friends were getting PlayStations, so right, it was, right. You know, but this is one of the first games I played on the SNES.
Gotcha. You know, I didn't even really know about it. Honestly, I think I'd heard of it, but I wasn't really aware of what it was until recently, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I assumed that it was that it was like an RPG or something kind of like that, or something, the mini games like Mario, like Super Monkey Ball, Banana Blitz, or something like that. Like, so, you know, so I don't know. I guess I never really paid attention to it, but it's actually a pretty insane idea if you really think about it.
Yeah.
It's really intriguing, the, you know, the whole prospect of it and how they approached it and the way they did it. Yeah, definitely.
Well, what happened was, right, well, let's go through the nerd stuff first. It's a series of 4 platform games developed and published by Nintendo. It was released on the SNES. It was released in North America in August 1993 and in Europe in December 1993. Got to get those Christmas sales in somehow. And then you had 10.5 million units sold with a critical rating of 90.4%. Not 94, 90.4.
It's really good.
So, I mean, it showed how popular the original Mario series was, even though we had just gotten Super Mario World and Super Mario Kart.
Right.
And Nintendo's production cycle, you know, they had a major gap in development, because Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, was still in development, but it was still 3 years away from being released. So they needed something to plug the gap of that, and right. Miyamoto suggested reworking Mario into a value pack, putting out all the 3 Mario games that was released at the time into one cartridge.
That just seems insane to me. It's like, it's just like giving away the farm, if you think about it. Like, just at the base of it, you know, because you could sell 3 units or you can sell 1.
Well, here's the thing. There were 4 games on the unit eventually, on the cartridge eventually, so it's even more.
Right. So it's good value, but I mean, they're kind of like, in business, like if you look at it from like a business angle,
yeah,
it just sounds like you're going to lose a bunch of money and it's going to go really, really poorly. But, you know, Nintendo being Nintendo, they
can like, do what they want.
They have like a witch doctor or like a warlock or somebody like, you know, casting spells back there or something. It had, you know? Well, I mean, for it to work, they would have to offer something augmented or something better or different about it.
And that's what they did. They offered a fourth game called The Lost Levels. Oh, in Japan, Super Mario Brothers USA.
No. Yeah, we've talked about that before. It was like the Jackie Chan movie where they had like two movies that were,
yeah,
they like released a sequel before that. Yeah, I'm just lucky. I'm just glad, I should say, that it didn't get any messier than it did, because they snapped it back into place on 3. So good.
There you go. We'll talk about the Super Mario 2 stuff here in a minute. It was junior developers, right, who were working this. And they were all, how are we going to pull this off? This is Nintendo's biggest, you know, superstar. And we test with reworking the original series. Like, one of them's one of the greatest games ever made. One of them's the most iconic game ever made. And one of them's the hardest game ever made.
They're all like equally epic for their own reasons.
Yeah.
You know, aside from just being awesome because they're a Mario game. But I mean, 1 opened the floodgates, and then 3 is, you know, just was incredibly innovative.
Oh, yeah.
And 2 is just kind of the black sheep of the trio, but it's got its charm. It's got its value.
I like Super Mario Brothers 2. I really do. I think it's a good game.
I think it's quirky. It's different. I like it.
And not even one of those. It's a good game for what it is. It's a good game. It's just, you know, it wasn't what people expected of a Mario game, and that's why a lot of people thumbed their nose up at it, I guess.
I think people. I'm still wondering why they decided to do the Lost Levels Mario 2 Switch, because I think Lost Levels would have went over fairly well in the U.S. even though it was decidedly harder than Mario 1. I think people would have been fine with that because they loved Mario. But, you know, they have their reasons, and they've been successful, so apparently they knew what the heck they were doing.
They knew what they were doing. So, I mean...
Totally.
I didn't realize, though. I mean, a lot of people didn't realize. Lost Levels, where did these levels come from, and what were they about? And, I mean, you don't think that, you know, in other areas of the world, they don't release certain games. You think that,
right?
You know, I mean, all the European games that I thought were released over here... And all the ones in Japan were released in Japan, but it's just really, really weird. It's like one of the things that they did do is they managed to debug the games, because there was a lot of bugs in the original 3 games, and they managed to debug it. The only one they didn't debug was the Lost Levels, was because of how difficult the game was. They didn't know if it was a bug or a feature. So Bethesda in the original Mario's. And, you know, they did some stuff like increasing the number of lives from 3 to 5 and allowing a save feature and, you know, just stuff that the Super Nintendo cartridge could handle a lot better. Because when you think about it, the original Mario game only was like less than a megabyte's worth of data was that whole Mario game.
That's
bewildering.
But which is also, at the time, they were probably bragging about how big it was.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because, you know, that's what... that's what we do, right?
Mario 3 especially. That's what she said.
Exactly.
No, but Mario 3 was huge compared to Mario 1.
Yeah, oh, well, certainly. And just looking at the remastered or reissued version of Mario 1. Yeah, I mean, it's the same, but it's also completely juiced up and better.
Yeah.
It's totally been brought up to Super Nintendo standards, which, like I was saying before, I mean, that's what they needed to do. If they were just going to report it and then slap a price tag on it and put it out there, I don't think that would have went over too well. But this is absolutely genius doing it the way they did it.
I mean, this is one of the first instances, really, of a video game remaster that I can think of.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, I guess Bethesda... was like watching Nintendo when they were starting. It was like, how they're re-releasing the same game over and over again. How can we get in on that action?
Right.
Yeah.
Listen, it's all talk, but they, you know, they want to release Skyrim in 2011, 2014, 2016, 2019, 2021.
Yep. And I'm embarrassed to admit how many copies of it I have on various platforms. Probably at least half a dozen. It's ridiculous.
I have both legendary editions of Skyrim. One on PC, one on Xbox. I have the anniversary edition on Xbox.
Yep.
I just, yeah. I
get Switch is where it's at, man, because you can take it with you. That's what I've been playing the most right now.
Well,
it's good stuff.
The thing about the Switch is they're doing a Switch 2 now. And people are complaining that it's only going to have the power of a PS4. Well, yeah, but it's handheld.
It's handheld, yeah. It's silent, too, man. It doesn't get hot. Like, that thing is a marvel.
The Switch 2 is probably going to be as powerful as a Steam Deck is. You know?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, those are cool.
Those are cool. I've yet to use one, but I love the idea of it. You know.
Yeah, I've seen the demo. I've seen like a demo of it. It looks really cool and powerful. But yeah, I mean the Switch is awesome. So anything you can get on Switch, like when they started re-releasing, they have like the Nintendo like club thing. I can't remember what it's called, but you get access to a bunch of games every month.
Yeah.
And they add new ones all the time. And Mario All-Stars is actually on there. I got to play it a little bit in preparation for this. And yeah, it's pretty bold, but also really, really well executed. And, you know, when they were finishing this up, they had to know that it was going to do well. I mean,
oh yeah,
it looks awesome, dude. It looks so much more alive and just like vibrant than the first one on NES. It's kind of dark.
Yeah,
kinda, and... like even though with the good music and stuff, it's not that cheery. Like it gets kind of like gloomy a little bit. But this, man, it's full of life and energy. It's really good.
Well, that's the thing. This was critically acclaimed upon its release, and it was a must-have game that represented the SNES library at its finest, right?
Yeah.
And reviewers liked the new feel of the game, as well as the ability to have days and weeks of play in the save game feature, and more importantly, these games were good enough to play in the 16-bit era, even though they were made in the 8-bit era.
Yeah.
And kids who were just getting into video games who didn't have an NES were now playing the original Mario series, albeit remastered, yeah. You know, and they were getting the same enjoyment out of it as the generation before them was getting.
Sure, in a new way, in a updated way. But yeah, it's that, but I mean, it's also super true to the original, you know.
It showed that they aged well. I mean, because there was a 10-year gap between Mario 1 and Mario All-Stars. So yeah. The games aged really, really well. I mean, for a 10-year gap in that time of video games, that's huge. I mean, 10-year gap now is, you know, I mean, you can only squeeze so much extra realism and graphics out of it. But the graphics jump from 1984 to 1994 was huge. And I don't think there was a bigger graphics jump from 94 to 99.
Yeah, there's color, like, color, we were able to use more color, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So when we started getting more of the hues and stuff, it made it, you could blend more, you could, you know, make your backgrounds a little more dynamic, and your characters and stuff, you had a little more resolution to work with as well. So yeah, just look back at Atari in the early 80s and then look at anything in the early 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like night and day, and then even more so now, but that's been a much more gradual movement.
Yeah. I mean,
and now it's almost well, I don't even know the word, negligible almost.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, man, I got this 8K TV, man. It's got all blah, blah, blah. And you put it right up next to a 4K. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, they're both really good, but like at the end of the day, I mean, do I really want to pay a whole bunch more? So yeah, I
get
good value.
I get 256 FPS. The human eye can only see 25 FPS.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
It's, you know, even 60 FPS is like, okay, you know, it's pushing it a little bit.
Sure, sure.
Because your eye can't register that. You know, I learned that in film school. That's why all the old films used to be 24 FPS.
Right. Okay.
So, but reviewers of the original games felt that these aged well, but the critics of the game said that it was a damning indictment of the modern games that the best game of 1993 was a remake of a decade-old game. That's a fair point.
I mean, it is. It's an astute point, and it kind of goes back to the other point of them. You know, if they had just repackaged them all into one thing and just thrown it out there, that'd have been one thing. But they took the time and the detail and everything. You know, you got so much more going on. But at the same time, they're absolutely right. You know, what kind of state were we in 93 where that was the best game?
Yeah.
Like, that did, maybe it was just a down year for games in general. Like, was that the year Akari Warriors and Hong Kong 97 came out? Like, right. It was just, there's just crap everywhere. And I don't know. But it's, you know, it's Mario. It's always going to be criticized and praised.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're going to be criticized no matter how. You can sell 100 million records and be a billionaire, and someone will still go online and talk crap about you.
Yeah.
You could arguably be the most beloved person in the world, or one of, you know, and someone's still going to have something critical to say about you.
Like,
so,
Bono.
I mean, right. I mean, Nintendo's always done their own thing, like we've said before, you know, and someone's, you know, just like a 90% rating. I mean, 10% of the people didn't like it. Okay, what's there not to like? You know, it's just people, man. You know, so I hope they probably didn't bat an eye about it. But I mean, it's like a really, really good point, because it's just basically recycled games.
Yes.
Updated, but reissued, but it's the same game.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the other criticisms of it too was the lost levels, being the lost levels that was far more difficult. And I didn't notice this until like a few years after I got around to playing it. Mario 1, you can only save worlds. So like, you can only save at world 1, world 2, world 3, whatever. And then you start back at world 1, 2, or 3, whatever, once it's game over. Right?
Right.
Your save point. With the lost levels, they had a save for level. So if you died on 1-3, you'd start back on 1-3. And so on and so forth.
Instead of putting you back at the very beginning of that world.
Yeah. Because that's how hard the game was.
Well, that's considerate. But I mean, hard is not even the correct term to describe that game.
No.
That game is punishment. That game is like, they've got a copy of that in an inner circle of hell. Like, there's one part, like, there's so many frustrating parts. So there's like this one part where you have to make this huge jump, and you have no, like, hardly any room to work with.
No.
So you have to, like, just be able to jump perfectly off the very, very corner of this thing and somehow get enough momentum to make a little. Dude, I had it on an emulator, thank God, because I was able to rewind and try over and over again. It took me like 80 times to get it.
Dang.
I mean, it's torturous, bro. They really, really cranked up the
difficulty.
Like, it's like they're like, hey, let's see what they got here. Yeah, let's see. Let's just make it crazy. Yeah. So, but yeah, fun game. But once you get up to about level 4 or 5, it's crazy hard.
I remember me and a buddy of mine, we played Lost Levels over like an 8-week period. I mean, and we only got to world 6.
It's nuts, dude. Yeah, they're literally, the only reason I got as far as I did in one sitting is because I was using an emulator. So when I died, I could rewind and just go around the guy or choose a different path, whatever. You know, so that it just for purely for discovery, because I knew I probably wouldn't see much more of it without doing that. But yeah, man, it's a. You know, for how hard it is, it gives you some value, if anything, because it takes forever to beat it.
The amount of control pads that were thrown at TVs.
Oh, I bet.
And then ricocheted off the TV and hit you in the head because of those thick glass TVs.
You know what it is? You know, I would argue that the Japanese are probably among the most patient people in the entire world.
Yeah.
I would offer Canadians, too. So it would make sense why they didn't give it to us Americans who are famously
patient.
Very patient, very give me, very me first, you know. So it makes sense.
The amount of gunshots the TVs would have been through the roof.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so they're, yeah. So just save us the heartache and just save it for a re-release down the road. So they left one in the chamber too. That's also good.
Yeah.
That's good business. So once again, they knew what they were doing.
So let's go through the games real quick. We're going to start with the original, the OG Super Mario Brothers. If you don't know what Super Mario Brothers is by now, don't worry. We got you back.
Right.
It's basically the evil King Koopa, a.k.a. Bowser, has captured Princess Toadstool, a.k.a. Princess Peach, and imprisoned her in his castle. Mario has to defeat his minions and complete a journey over 8 worlds to save her. That's all it is. I know that anybody looking for something deep and you know, it's not that deep.
It's a metaphor for... No. It's just a crazy Italian plumber, his lady, and some, like, dinosaur-looking dude.
And you jump over things. That's literally the game. It's a tradition. It's a platform game. It's a traditional platform, OG. You play left to right. You know, you can't go back.
You get big, you get fire, you get star.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. Yep.
You can get extra lives. You start with 5 lives and infinite continues. You gain extra lives by getting 100 coins or grabbing the mushrooms or killing 8 plus enemies on a single goal
combo.
Yeah
like, yeah, there's like a cooldown for it,
yeah,
so depending on how long it is between each kill. Yeah, I think it's a couple of seconds. I've seen videos of people going into Mario 3 and creating a situation where the Mr. Cloud guy, I can't remember his name,
yeah,
where he's dropping the things down and there's a shell racing back and forth and it's just dude. Like every time he drops one, the shell hits it, and then by the 8th one, it's just
an extra man after extra man.
Sits there for 10 minutes, and he has like 350 lives or something. So, yeah, that's cool little system. Like you didn't really see anything like that intuitive at all, you know?
No, and not just that. It was it's a fun game. That's the thing. Yeah, it's a remake of an 80s game. But it's a fun game, and
it's fun. It's classic. I mean, that's the reason why it did so well. It's a classic game. I mean, classic. Like, who looks at like a 57 Chevy and goes, "Ooh, dated,"
right?
Oh, that looks hokey. Like, no. Everyone goes, "Wow, classic, beautiful car, classic."
Yeah.
However, a 1992 Mitsubishi Eclipse. That's gonna look dated immediately. It's probably gonna be teal. You know, probably has a
brown interior,
like a Mondale, vote for Mondale sticker on the back, you know, like just really, really outdated. So it's classic, is my point. You know? And so when something's classic, it's just awesome forever. That's why we still read Shakespeare and why we still play baseball, even though it's a dang near a 200-year-old sport. It's classic, you know?
It's classic. Well, see, that's the thing about this game. Is not the first Mario game. A lot of people believe this is the first Mario game. This is the first Super Mario game, but it's not the first Mario game. There was a lot of people think it's Donkey Kong, but there's actually a game in between Donkey Kong and Super Mario Brothers called Mario Brothers. And that was released in 83, and if you want to play Mario Brothers, you can actually play it on Super Mario Brothers 3. On the SNES
versions. It's like a
mini
kind of an arcade style game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was, we talked about it before. I was talking about like an original Game & Watch that I had a long time ago. I think that was the game that it had on it. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe it was Donkey Kong or something. But I feel like it was at least set up that same way.
I think Mario Brothers was on the Game & Watch, the original.
It's been a long, long time. That was like 88, 89. So, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, but in this game, you know, they needed a second player, so they introduced a character called Luigi, who is just a straight palette swap. Nothing new, nothing exciting. He's just Luigi. He's just a
different,
second.
Different coat of paint.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do you know what Luigi's last name is?
Mario.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. It's because people hear the Mario Brothers and they immediately think, oh, it's Mario and he's got a brother. Yeah, No. Mario's name is Mario.
That's right. And that's
canon. Luigi's name is Luigi Mario. Okay. But that it's was like Duran Duran or, or hell, Greg Gregory. It might as well be this pick advice.
Well, no, it's confirmed that that's their name in the first Mario Brothers movie from 93. Yeah. I know I've said this in the past. I'm one of only like 12 people who like that movie.
I was just saying that no one knows that because no one saw that movie.
I saw it. I went to the cinema.
Yeah, I saw it.
It was a great movie.
You know, I was happy to see it, but it wasn't exactly what I hoped for. But
no, it was more the Mario Brothers in steampunk land.
Yeah, they kind of went a little crazy with the source material. You know, kind of veered off from the source material rather.
The only common denominators were the character names and the colors that they wore.
I liked the actors that they picked. I really feel like it was the director and the writing that killed it. Because I mean, Dennis Hopper was awesome. So was John Leguizamo.
Bob Hoskins too was great.
They did the absolute best of whatever they had.
See, that's the thing. I love movies like that are infinitely bad, but the actors put on such a good performance.
Right.
Like Street Fighter. I love the movie Street Fighter because of Raul Julia's performance as...
Oh, Raul Julia, man. I miss that guy.
God rest his soul. But
oh, dude, he was awesome in anything he did, man. Like, Adam's Family was a packed cast, and he stood out like crazy in that. He's so good.
But that's what the thing about Sonic the Hedgehog when it came out. You know, everybody thought that Sonic movie was going to be so bad that it was going to be Jim Carrey pulling a Raul Julia on it to make it worth anything. Right, and it turned out to be a good movie, you know.
Right.
But, you know, what can you say about Mario Brothers that hasn't been said? I mean, it's the granddaddy of all platform games. Soundtrack is iconic. It's my ringtone and my text alert tone on my phone to this day.
Oh, and none of the Foley too. The sound effects.
Yeah.
Like the going down the tube, the
star.
When you get a star when you power up. Yeah, all of those are iconic. Every bit of it.
You know, it's just super iconic, and that led to the Japanese Super Mario Brothers 2, or the Asian market Super Mario Brothers 2, we should say. Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels is known in the United States and in Europe. Now, the premise is exactly the same. Princess Toadstool has once again been kidnapped by Bowser because the Mushroom Kingdom Secret Service is the worst Secret Service in the history of all Secret Services.
Bowser and
Peach are actually dating.
Yeah, they have like a secret relationship going on, and she's just she's trying to get ransom money from Mario to fund her lavish lifestyle.
Well, not just that, you know, it's Mario's a stalker.
Yeah, he won't leave her alone. It's like I just want to be left. See all the walls between us. What is your problem?
I put eight castles between us. Can't you tell by now?
Right, I am a princess after all. I would hide in a castle.
There was a guy, Pete Holmes, who did a series on his TV show called A Realistic Mario.
Oh yeah,
and yeah. There was one scene in there where Mario's tripping off the mushroom that he ate, and Luigi's like, "Look, she's my girlfriend, not yours," you know. So
the one where he jumps into the block and he's like gashes his head. He's like, "Ow, that hurts so much.
The pain is getting worse.
My vision is disappearing.
Yeah,
I'm getting cold." Yeah, you gotta check that out. Any of the Pete Holmes stuff's really funny.
He did a realistic Garfield too, which had me in stitches.
I still need to check that out. I still laugh about the Street Fighter one where it's like the Street Fighter people are meeting with the accountants of the Street Fighter tournament. He's like, "I'm just looking at the numbers. It just doesn't add up. You want to fly everyone to individual country? No, it's not." Yeah, it's so good. So any of that, yeah, we have to check that out.
You got to check that out. But Lost Levels, gameplay is pretty much identical, except Luigi has a different set of skills. So one of the things...
Really?
So
I never noticed that.
The level that you were having trouble with the 80 attempts to try and jump over, were you as Mario or were you as Luigi?
Mario, because I was playing one player. I didn't think there was a selectable.
Yeah, you can select Mario or Luigi in the Lost Levels.
Huh, I must have... Oh, okay. I must have thought of it as, like,
two-player thing.
Yeah. But not only that, like, I mean, I guess in two they have different skills. I just didn't think that that would be a thing in a one, oh, a continuation of one. So well, that's interesting.
Luigi's faster and can jump higher, but he skids. So, like, if you run in too fast and hit back to try and slow him down, he'll slide like three or four blocks.
He takes longer to slow down.
Yeah.
But he gets some more momentum.
But he jumps a lot further.
Okay. So what I needed then was him for that level, whatever level that was.
It introduced a poison mushroom, which hurts. Yeah. The poison mushroom. I hated that.
It's lame.
And the levels are much greater difficulty. So it's not a two-player game. It's a one-player game. So what happened with this, right? Why did these levels become the lost levels in Europe and in the United States?
Yeah.
The test markets thought the game was exactly the same as the original. It was too samey and too difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I can understand that. That's a fair assessment. So they didn't want any part of it. They said, look, we need a different Mario 2 because this is just not going to cut it. And that's how we ended up with the Mario 2 we've got, which I'll elaborate on when we talk about that here in just a moment.
Yes.
Nobody even heard of these lost levels until Mario All-Stars came out. So, now there are ports of the Japanese version out there and in original NES format and so on and so forth. There are emulators and stuff like that. But it was never officially released on a cartridge or anything like that.
No. Uh-uh.
But this is considered one of the hardest Mario games of all time, and actually started bringing in the idea of all the Mario characters having different kind of, you know, features in there. Like, Luigi can jump higher, Mario's stronger, and, you know, so on and so forth.
Peach can float.
And Toad is just useless.
And then they get Yoshi in and on it too later. He could, like, run in the air and, like... stutter, like keep himself up in the air. Yeah, I tried it. Doesn't work.
Paco. so let's talk about Mario 2 for a minute. Okay, so Mario 2, the premise of Mario 2 is Mario has a dream of a staircase leading to a mysterious door in a mysterious place. A voice identifies the world of the dreamland as Subcon and asks for Mario's help in defeating the evil villainous frog named Wart, a tyrant who's caused Subcon and his people great pain. Mario suddenly awakes and decides to tell Luigi, Toad, and Princess Daisy about his dream, who all report having the same dream. So this is a completely and utterly different game. This is... what's the best way to say this? There are no coins. There are no... stars. Well, there are stars, but you got to get cherries to get the star.
It's a different dispensing method for pickups.
There's no boxes. There's power-up meter.
There's like a little beaker that you have to break.
Yep.
There's like a door, and there's like radishes that you pick up when you go through. Yeah, it's very different the way it's laid out. It was, to me, when I first put it, it was like night and day compared to the first one.
Which is what a sequel should be. You should elaborate on a sequel, I think.
It should have something new to it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could carry your and throw your enemies at each other. Have you ever been so angry you've hit somebody with somebody?
Yeah, just pick up a dude and you throw him at another dude. Yeah.
I mean, you start a Super Mario, you have four hit points. You can have up to four hit points as opposed to maximum of two. It's a one-player game. They all had different traits. Mario was an all-around character. Luigi was slower but could jump higher. Daisy could float for a period of time. And Toad was the strongest but had a low jump ceiling. So he was, when it came to the jumps, he was pretty useless. But when he came to chunking things at people, he was the best.
Right. Yeah, so maybe he could get the bosses out in three hits instead of four or something.
Yeah.
That would be like the trade-off, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, all the enemies in this game were different. There was no Bowser.
This is weird.
It was the first Mario game to specify terrain of the areas that you were in. So this was the first one to have an ice levels and forest levels and desert levels and so on and so forth, which have become staples. However, the ending of the game was just in Mario's head. It was a dream all along.
That's cheap.
Yeah. It's
a way of getting away for resolving it. It's a twist, but it's also it can be construed as a little lazy.
It is. It's oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Not MacGuffin. That's not the word I'm looking for. It'll come to me here in a minute. But it's just it's lazy storytelling. You know, this is where, you know, some people could say Mario jumped the shark at this point.
Right.
But yeah, obviously it didn't. But, you know, it's shark jumping worthy moment that they managed to get back on track with Mario 3. But, so we mentioned the Lost Levels was too difficult. So what happened? How did we end up with this Mario 2? Did they go through a long development? No. What they did is they took a game called Yumi Kojo, Doki Doki Panic. Right. And that was originally a test game that Nintendo built to see how strong the NES could do. So what they did is they reskinned it with Mario characters. They just needed four Mario characters to do it, and they got the four. Reskinned it, made the graphics a little tighter, and right. Bada bing, bada boom, they had a new Archmage on their hand, you know? And right. In Japan, this was called Super Mario USA. The game, like Lost Levels, was not released in Japan until, you know, this Mario All-Stars came out.
Right.
I mean, the backgrounds and the music were enhanced. One of the things that this did do for Mario 2 is that if you died, you could select a new character. So if you were on a level as Luigi, for example, in the original, you just had to suck it up and deal with it. But now, you could switch out if Luigi wasn't matching the style of the level that you needed.
Yeah. You say, I need to be able to glide over this one part or something, so I'm going to get the princess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, you could... this game... I mean, this game was also difficult. It wasn't a cakewalk. It wasn't easy that they needed. I mean, some of the levels, the enemies, are just completely... it's just completely full of enemies.
Oh, yeah, like overrun. Yeah, totally.
And because you can only throw things at people, you only have so much ammo that you can, you know, unless you pick people up and throw people to people. But then again, some of these people are shooting spit stuff at you, or bombs, or whatever. You know, it's just... it was difficult, and there was very few opportunities to regain your health.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was an easier game than the Lost Levels, but it was certainly not an easy game to begin with.
Yeah, well, and part of that was just like you were saying, is just the format of it, the way that it's laid out. Like, they give you... there's some trade-off, because they do give you more opportunities to have more... to take more damage.
Yeah.
So, and you're not as negatively degraded as you are in the subsequent ones, or the previous ones.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, say you've got a power up and then you get hit. Okay, in the Japanese version, you go to small. But now in this one, if you get hit, you don't get small until you're down to your last one. So it gives you some opportunity. So, I mean, even though the pickup situation's a little more shady and a little more difficult, and it's not as clear and accessible as the other version, it's still there. It's just being done in a different way.
Well, the other thing too is the fact that when you are little Mario or little Luigi or whatever, there's nothing special about it.
Right.
That was one thing that I didn't like about it is when you became Super Mario, you got different abilities. You could crush blocks. You could, you know what I mean? Where in this game, it just doesn't mean anything. It just means that you're on your last hit point.
Right.
But this game has a cult following.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of fans of the Mario series see this like as an extension game rather than canon, because it all happened in Mario's head.
Yeah, so, right. Well, I mean, that explains how erratic and, like, weird it is compared to everything else. Because, I mean, there's some parts about it that are pretty abstract. Like, when he gets into the pots and suddenly it's, like, an entire bedroom. Like, a house, you know? It's like this thing was the same size as him, you know? Stuff like that.
So, well, this game has a cult following, like I mentioned, and it was remade for the Game Boy Advance to be more like a Mario game. And that was critically acclaimed. I've not played that game yet. I'd like to play it, but I've not played it yet.
Yeah, neither. Yeah, it sounds cool.
So I'm gonna have to wait for that to come out on the Switch's gallery of Nintendo games that they keep promising to release.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, here we go. The greatest Mario game of all time, some people would say, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I personally think Super Mario World is the greatest Mario game of all time in platform format. But that's my opinion. Yeah. People would say Super Mario 3, people would say Super Mario World, and people will actually say Super Mario Wonder.
It just came out.
If you've not played it, you need to find a way to play it. It is a phenomenal game.
Okay, it's, yeah. I've,
it's just got... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I was going to buy it for my son for Christmas, but he didn't seem very interested in it, so maybe I'll just get it for myself.
There you go. The only problem is it's $60.
Yeah.
You know, it's full price for a Switch game, for a Mario game. It just feels weird. But Mario totally. 3, Bowser's children have stolen the magic wands of the rulers of the Mushroom Kingdom and turned seven kings into helpless creatures. Mario and Luigi have to reclaim the wands and turn the kings back to their normal selves. However, during this, Bowser kidnaps the princess.
Daytime.
Again, Secret Service, what are you doing?
Sleep at the wheel. Too much lasagna.
Too much lasagna.
It's all my fault.
And my son just came back from Italy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was awesome.
He's like, don't give me any pasta ever. Anymore.
He's had real pasta now.
He's had real pasta, so...
Yeah.
None of this gunk that we've got. None of this birria.
Hey, I'll drop you guys off some fresh pasta. I got a machine. I'll drop you off a pound one day.
Nice. Nice. I love fresh pasta. It's just a pain to make.
Yeah. Fresh fettuccine egg pasta. Can't beat it.
Ooh. Now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. Right.
But so compared to Mario 2, Mario 3 is a return to the gameplay traditionally associated with Mario. It's a side scroller. You can go left or right this time, which is really really good. It's the first Mario to use a world map.
Yeah. Which I thought was cool. It added a little bit of control to your gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, this.
So if you had a divergent path, you could take it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, this was the last Mario game made for the NES. Super Mario World was in development for the SNES at the time. So you know, developing two games at once with such wide-reaching implications and two awesome games to begin with.
Revolutionary, both of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Big deal.
But I mean. This is the first one to have the world map. Each map had its own theme, you know, so you had desert world and big world and cloud world.
Ice world, and then you had the Bowser levels, which looked like hell. It looked literally looked like hell. It was terrified me as a kid.
Yep. Mid-world fortresses were unlocked. You didn't have to complete every level as long as you completed the main castle. The only problem is it had 8 power-ups, and to me that was too many.
Yeah, I wish they would have been able to utilize different types of power-ups, because I just think about how cool it would have been if we could add Yoshi in Mario 3.
Yeah.
I'd have traded two of those power-ups for one Yoshi. Three for one Yoshi.
I mean, you didn't need the Tanuki suit. I mean,
not really. I mean, you already had the Leaf. I mean, exactly. That's pretty much the same thing.
Hammer Brother. So. You didn't need Hammer Brother, and you didn't need Frog Mario.
I didn't need... Three. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the problem with that was, it's like, okay, here comes this level that I know was going to be water based. Get on the frog suit. All right, cool, perfect. We're handling biz easy. Then we get out and we're in a dry level and we're hopping around like, and it doesn't work.
That frog suit was awful.
It didn't help you on land whatsoever. No. It gave you a little bit of advantage in the water because you didn't have to. Flappy Bird it, you know, to get move up and down. you could just directionally point to where you want to go and just you know. So that was the one thing about it that I thought was useful. But I mean, you got stuck in it and you just have to get hit and then go find a different, you know, just yeah. So yeah, could have known without the frog suit, definitely.
Well, the other thing about this game too is the levels were shorter than most Mario levels, probably due to how many levels they built for the game and the limitation on the cartridge that they had.
Right.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
More levels, but shorter levels.
Yes. You only played as Mario or Luigi, which is a good start. Luigi didn't have any special extra skills in this one because it was just wasn't a palette swap, but they didn't give him any extra abilities because of the fact that it was they didn't want to give anybody an advantage. Because if you play in the Lost Levels, it's a different type of character. If you play Mario 2, you need different characters for different situations. With this one, mm-hmm. they just wanted to keep it the same so that both players got the same experience.
It was a move back to the original format.
Yeah.
Even though it was a different engine and there was some different features in it, it was still a movement back to sort of that classic feel of Mario.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you know, did you ever see The Wizard?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I watched it. You can actually watch that on YouTube for free.
Wow.
That's how terrible that movie is. It's on YouTube and nobody bothered to put a copyright strike on it. They're like, I didn't make that. Did you? No, you didn't. No. Oh, okay.
I can almost hear Cat Williams say Netflix or Tubi.
It's probably on there. I did see a funny meme about that movie. The part where he's the kid sees the sign for California and he starts freaking out. Okay. Actual footage of Anthony Kiedis from the Chili Peppers writing his first song. It's California, California, California.
I'm doing an episode on Californication later on in the season, and literally my research for every song is about California, about Los Angeles.
You're obsessed with that place, I swear,
man. Hey, you know what? I love my hometown too. I just don't want to base my whole career around it.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't have to be your entire. Excuse me, identity. You know, you can have some other type of identity, dude.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, yeah, the Wizard was exciting to me as a kid, but now watching it as an adult, I see right through it for what it actually is.
And it is a feature-length advertisement for Mario 3. That's all it is.
Yeah, and it's, well, Nintendo, really. Yeah. I mean, it pushed Mario 3 really hard, but I mean, They plugged Double Dragon, the Power Glove. Yeah, a couple other things. Like, Super Mario 3 was the feature, but it was a huge commercial for Nintendo, front to back. Absolutely.
It was the most blatant product placement movie that was released.
I wanted that piece of crap after I saw that movie. I wanted that Power Glove so bad. So bad. Well, I thought it was going to elevate my video gaming to a whole nother level the way that kid sold it. No, not man.
It was the most blatant product placement movie until The Internship was released in 2013. You ever hear of The Internship?
I think.
Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, basically a salespeople. Old school salespeople, you know, the ones who wine and dine their customers and liquid lunches and, you know, and they end up getting internships at Google.
Okay.
And basically the movie is a 2-hour advert for Google starring Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson.
Oh, wow.
So it's almost as bad as The Wizard, but not quite as blatant. No, it's actually more blatant.
You had some serious actors in that movie too, though. You had Fred Savage, who was white hot at the time.
Oh yeah.
From Wonder Years, and the rest of the cast escapes me, but they're all recognizable, like B and C role, you know, actors. It wasn't like they hodgepodged it together. They really tried to do something good with it, and I think it has some value, but it's just it's hard to get past the ridiculousness of how it's tuned to just be a huge ad.
Yeah.
And they were pushing stuff that wasn't even that good. And they were talking about things that, just the way they were talking about the games, it felt kind of out of touch.
It's like
some dude in a suit that had never played video games before wrote these lines. You know, like, it just felt impersonal. But it was a treat to watch as a kid. I enjoyed it, definitely. Especially seeing Mario 3 at the end, because it wasn't even out yet.
No.
It wasn't even, and you know, this was pre-internet. Hello, it was like 92, so there was no leaks, there was no previews, there was no nothing. It came out when it came out. You just had to wait.
Yeah.
Was it good? Is it bad? Don't know. You got to buy it or you got to talk to someone that did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, those were the days, kids. You know, you found out the hard way with your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Whether something was good or something was bad. So if you play two-player mode of Mario 3 and you jump on a level that was completed by either Mario or Luigi, the opposite of what you were, it started the battle mode, which is essentially Mario Brothers, which right. is, you know, same music and all that stuff. Speaking of music, 27 pieces of music were made for Mario 3, which I didn't realize until now.
That's extensive, yeah. I didn't me either. I figured maybe a dozen at most.
Yeah. It's still considered one of the best Mario games of all time in the traditional sense. People say Super Mario Odyssey is the best Mario game of all time.
It's so good. It's a great game. I was going to mention that earlier.
It's a good game. I couldn't get into it because I can't get into the 3D Mario games. I've never been able to. Super Mario 64 was real, real difficult for me, and it kind of turned me off. I played Super Mario Sunshine a little bit. I didn't play Mario Galaxy, and I haven't touched Mario. I only touched Mario Odyssey briefly because I like the platformers. I really do.
I've beat Mario's Odyssey and the other one that you mentioned, and also Bowser's Fury.
Okay.
That one's really fun. That one's really, really fun. But I had fun playing Galaxy just because, like, the hat, using the hat as a vessel, it was really, really fun. Very creative game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they're constantly trying to move forward, and they're always looking for different things, you know, like Luigi's Mansion. That's a totally,
yes,
totally different approach than any, you know, and that's what it turns into, is that each release is its own unique thing. And we're not getting the lost levels over and over again, or Mario 2 or whatever. You know, they learned from that and grew from it. And it's, yeah. So, I mean, this game is untouchable. I mean, it's always going to be considered one of the best games of all time. Like, no matter what happens with, you know, it's just right up there. Just like Frogger or Galaga, you know, like some of those early, you know, games that kind of like set the tone for other companies and stuff. Yeah, I mean, everybody's trying to just be like, do their own thing and be awesome at it, like Nintendo. But man, it's hard. But they've got it down to a science, man.
They've got so many franchises too that are like that, you know. I think they've made some missteps, like with Mario 2, but like you look at games like Pokemon, you look at Zelda, you look at, you know, the Mario series, as we mentioned,
and all the Splinters from the Mario series, like Smash Brothers, Kart, etc., etc. I mean, really, if you look at Nintendo, all of their falters were hardware.
Yeah. And
I mean, you know, I mean, so you can't blame them too much for that, because they've released thousands of great games. So.
I mean, and that's the thing. A lot of franchises wanted to be Mario. Look at Crash Bandicoot, right? Crash Bandicoot had its own, you know, its own games and its own, and then they released their own kart version of a game, and they released their own fighting game. And
they wanted
like
a flagship type thing.
Yeah.
Like a flagship character, kind of like Sonic or Mario. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but
it's tough to know what's going to stick, you know.
Yeah.
And Nintendo just made it appealing somehow, you know. It's just Mario is just classic. It's awesome.
And I mean, to this day, I mean, this version of the game is now 30 years old, which is unbelievable.
This version, the All-Stars.
The All-Stars version is 30 years old.
31, right?
Yeah, 31. Well, I just turned 30.
Okay, yeah.
So we can get away with calling it 30. But, and we're talking about it, and it's still playable on the newest console out there that Nintendo has.
Yep.
You know, to this day. Like, if you listen to this and you have a Switch and you have the Nintendo Game Pack, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, I have it. I can't think of it. It's a subscription to, like,
all the classic games.
A lot of them. All the stuff that they made in-house, they make available. And a lot of it, there's some third-party stuff in there. But some of them have been neutered.
Yeah.
Like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, is just now Punch-Out.
Well, no, Punch-Out was the original game. They only attached Mike Tyson on there. I think they attached Mike Tyson on there, or they removed Mike Tyson on there after his imprisonment.
Gotcha, okay. So I didn't know that was... it's not on there. I figured it was because of licensing, but that also makes sense since he, you know... Nintendo's very family-forward type company, and so a guy with, like, you know, a wife beater charge, you probably don't want him endorsing your thing. No. So they don't owe him anything. They can just pull the name from it.
Just rip out the endorsement and just
It change the character at the end, call him something else, be done with it.
And that's what and that's why, I mean, I don't want to keep talking about games and stuff like that, but the Street Fighter, the boxing character Balrog was originally supposed to be called M. Bison.
Yeah.
Bison, Las Vegas boxer. Yeah, but they thought, no, that's a little too close, so we're going to have to...
I was wondering about that, because Balrog was like, man, that's Mike Tyson. Why would they... Why don't just call him... Wow. So they named the villain that instead.
The villain was supposed to be Sagat, the main villain.
I was considered
Sagat was supposed to... Basically, the only one who kept the name at the big four final bosses was Vega. He was the only one who kept his name. The other three switched their names around because it was supposed to be... Balrog was supposed to be the character known as Sagat. M. Bison was supposed to be the character Balrog. And Sagat was the character we now know as M. Bison.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So many memories from getting my ass whipped from Sagat or Vega or really all those guys, man. They have whipped my ass. Many, many a time.
I did a playthrough of Street Fighter 2 a couple of months ago for the dead streamer, and I got to level 4 stars, and I couldn't beat Ryu. I was just getting handed to me.
Yeah. Once you get to those higher levels, it almost doesn't matter who it is. I mean, Dalsim, Ryu, Chun-Li, pretty much any of them.
If you lose to Zangief, though. That's
Ryu's so powerful,
Yeah, but if he loses Zangief, you might as well just put the controller down.
Oh, yeah. It's that flying pile driver thing he does. That thing is ridiculous, man.
All right. I think, after much review, Mario All-Stars, what a game. Go play it if you've got a Switch. If you don't have a Switch and you own the game in the past, you can emulate it, but don't emulate it if you've never owned it.
Yeah,
wink,
cool. Wink. Right.
You know, give the developers their money because they worked hard on this. Wink, wink. But nah, great game. So, Greg, it's awesome to have you on, man.
Yeah, dude.
You were gonna be on here You're gonna be on here in a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
After Sarah's string of 4 episodes in a row that she's coming on starting next week, which is going to be fun.
Awesome. I like the Sarah episodes are always good to listen to. you guys chemistry is awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We will have you back on here on episode 8. Nice. I've got you written down for a Will Smith classic.
ID4?
Nope.
No, MIB.
MIB. I've got you down nice. I've got you down for ID4 too. So,
that's okay. That's what it was. I knew it was on there somewhere. Okay, awesome. Yeah,
I've got you down for our 100th episode.
Man, I love. Awesome. Yeah, I would offer that MIB is one of the most quotable movies of all time.
Oh yeah,
it's so insanely quotable, and Will Smith is an absolute delight in it.
Will Smith is a national treasure in that movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was red hot in the mid to late 90s. Yes. Absolutely.
And now he's just not after slapping Chris Rock.
Man, I just have so many questions.
Well, the only one I have is this, right? He only did that because it was Chris. If it was Kid, he probably would have done it. If it was The, he wouldn't have done anything.
Or just the guy that played like Debo on Friday.
Oh,
Sonny just Liston. Yeah, like a big dude like that. Yeah. Like he might have been. All right, I see you. Okay.
He probably would have yelled, "Keep my wife's name out your mouth," but he wouldn't have got up there and slapped the crap out of them.
No, he probably wouldn't have dropped the F-bomb either.
No.
He probably have been a little more docile about it. But yeah, you know, Chris Rock, I could see how he could think that he could just overpower that guy, so he wouldn't even worry about it.
Chris Rock's latest special, he eviscerated Will Smith.
I saw a clip of that, actually.
He absolutely eviscerated him, and...
Yeah.
And he did a concert, he did music style too, right? Because when you're an established band and you have the big hits, you save those for the end of the show encore, right?
Yeah.
He knew his audience. He didn't start talking about Will Smith until like 45 minutes into a 55 minute show.
Yeah, in with the bang.
Everybody was waiting for it, you know? But
yep.
But yeah. So that's it for Super Mario. I'll be back here in a couple of minutes. Greg will be back here in a couple of weeks. And I've got a few more things to talk about, so I will see you then. Take it easy, everybody.
See you.
Thanks once again for Greg for coming on. I really appreciate it. I know he's busy with his family and, of course, with the Holodex and with a bunch of other projects that he's got going on. It's a real, real thank you for taking the time out of the day. If you want to catch up with Greg more about his creative endeavors, you can go to theholodex.com, click on the tour, and you find where they're going to be playing. And, of course, check him out on YouTube as well. There's a great retrospective that they did a couple of months back. And, of course, they've got some live clips of some of the stuff that they do, and you will enjoy every minute of it. I guarantee it. So, thank you to everybody who's taking the time to watch our Dog Get My Homework series of Pokemon Red. I appreciate it. There was an episode that just finished today. In fact, I'm not going to be... If you fast-forwarded straight to the end of this, I might still be streaming episode 9. But you can join us next Sunday at 1 o'clock. And that's Sunday, March... that's a good question. Sunday, March 24th at 1 o'clock Central Time. And you can catch us for another round of Pokemon Dog Eat My Homework series. Again, for those of you who don't know, the Dog Eat My Homework series is a series where I stream the video game that I was working on, that something happened where I was not able to complete it in a timely manner. So technical difficulties, computer issues, games crashing, losing save files, so on and so forth. So this is it. This is the Dog Eat My Homework. So that's it. Next week, I'll be joined by Sarah Connolly. Sarah will be here to talk about one of the finest albums of all time, R.E.M.'s Automatic for the People. If you don't know that album, you've definitely heard the song or two off that album. You've heard Everybody Hurts. You've probably heard Man on the Moon. So, yeah, real, real great album. Stick around. You don't want to miss our discussion on that. And that's really all I've got for this week. I mean, it's been a week. So, and I'm recording these so far in advance, I can't even give a pop culture reference. Well, here's one from this week that just happened. We just had the Super Bowl, and I'm recording this on Valentine's Day. So, yeah. Hopefully everybody who did the Usher halftime show is back, is feeling great today. And, of course, hug your loved one. Well, you're not going to hear this on Valentine's Day anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, that's it, everybody. I appreciate y'all, every single one of you, for tuning in and listening and giving an hour or so of your time to this humble little podcast. I appreciate you. Next week, we'll be doing another episode. It'll be dropping next Sunday, as usual. And until then, take it easy, everybody. Bye.